Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, in my heart, in kind of a thought. Thank you, Alba, Sister Tony. Paul, it seems like, as he is trying to encourage the church, we need encouragement, don't we? We need that extra little shove from God or from a brother or sister who's lifting us up in prayer to move us on. And so thankful that there are those who are willing to give that little shove if motivated by God or from that love that comes from God. But Paul, as he is talking to the church, I believe there's one thing that he makes very clear on examination, and it's this. Make sure, beyond the shadow of any doubt, that you are in the faith. Oh, what a joy to know today that we're born again, that we're heaven bound, that we're saved of grace. And if the whole world comes to an end, we're going to be with God. It's a joy to know that, but there are folk today who are just not sure. Maybe they are children of God who have fell away from God and disobedient, as I believe the adult class had some speculation on that today. And maybe they have come to a place where they begin to wonder, I don't know if I am still saved. I don't know if I was ever saved. Paul's saying, make sure. Make sure that you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. That's the greatest examination that we can give to ourselves. And I believe today that the message that Paul was bringing to the church at Corinth to encourage them is a message that is needful today in 1991. You did notice that we're in 1991. Even though you're signing your checks 1990 in your letters yet. No, we're in 1991. And Paul is encouraging us to examine our lives in 1991 or in this day in 1991. And you know, as I look at 1991, I praise God because it's a year of God's word. That's a trust from God. Let us figure just for a moment. Within 1991, if God tarries, He will give every one of us 365 days to live in. He will give us 8,760 hours to do something with. He will give us 525,600 minutes at our disposal. And He will also give us 31,536,000 seconds. I want to say something today as I preach the word for God. Every second will be very valuable in our lives. They will be important seconds because they were to be used for the embedment of life and for ourselves and for God. And God says to us, they're yours. They're yours to use, but whatever we do, use them wisely. You know, as sure as we spend our money, we spend our time. But there's a little difference. Some of us go without a meal sometime, possibly. Some of us scrape to try, and maybe we're able to save a little bit. Oh, not too much, a dollar or two, or a glass jar like I've got with some nickels and pennies in it. But there's one thing about time that we need to know when we examine ourselves. And that is that you cannot stay one moment of time. Every breath we breathe, every time we blink, every word we say takes more time from that God has given us. And so to the Ephesians, they are told to redeem the time, to use the time wisely. To make sure that when they use time, it counts for something. Have you ever heard anyone say, oh, if I just knew then what I know now, I wasted so many precious years, so many precious things passed me by that I didn't get to. You ever hear anybody say something like that? Those are folks who did not redeem time. Those are those who forgot that time was quickly passing away. Last night I made a call down at somewhere in southern Illinois, I think it is, right close to the river down there. And as I got the gentleman whom I was talking to on the phone, he said, I said, hello, David, this is Brother Wild. And he said, hallelujah. Man, he said, I can't believe that I'm talking to you. Brother Wild, it's been 30 or more years since I talked to you. We rejoiced, and as we talked, he asked a question, and it's been asked time and time again. He said, Brother Wild, where did all the time go? Did you ever ask that question? Where did all the time go? It went just like it does every second, every minute, every hour of the day. It went by just like every year goes by. But what have we did with it? Have we calculated the time in such a sense that we can say, boy, I'm glad with the past year that I spent. My life was blessed, and God blessed, and the church was blessed, and my family was blessed. And if I had it all to do over, I would use that year just like I used it. Paul is saying to those at Corinth, first of all, make sure that you are a child of God beyond the shadow of any doubt. And then when you have made sure that you are a child of God, there's something else you need to do, and I want to mention that this morning. I believe Paul was saying that the new year is a time to take inventory. Did you ever really take time to take inventory of your life? To see who you are, what you are, to realize where you've been and where you are, and where you plan on going? Have you really just taken time to consummate it all in the idea of knowledge of saying, I need to sit down and take inventory of my life and see what has happened to me and see what I expect to happen to me in 1991. I'll tell you, I'm looking for the best year I've ever had because I'm looking older, but I'm feeling younger. Amen. Some folks are like that. But Paul talks about inventory. And in a brand new, delightful, interesting year that God is going to give, there's no better time to take inventory of ourselves and of our lives and our families and our church than at the beginning of this new year of 1991 when I was in the factory. Each year they would have what they called inventory. I don't know. The coal mine has this and other places have it, but I would imagine that they do. And so they take inventory. They want to see what they have on hand and to see what they need to bring in for the future that they might continue the work that needs to be done. And I believe it's kind of like that in my life as a child of God. I need to take inventory to see what I've got on hand. And I need to take inventory to see what I've got to do that I can live for God the way God wants me to in the coming days and the coming years. And this is what inventory is all about. And the psalmist, of course, was talking about not materialistically inventory, but he was talking about spiritual inventory. I want us to hear what the psalmist was willing to say to God. And before you just answer right fast and step on your own left foot, make sure that you can say yes or no, or I need a little more inventory on this matter. But listen what the psalmist was able to say as he examined himself for a new day in that moment. God, he said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me, dear God, and know my thoughts. Isn't that something? And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in thy way everlasting. There's two important things about inventory. I believe the first would be honesty. And I believe the second would be accuracy. apathy. So many times when I look at me, I see the great man that I am. I see this great hunk of power and servitude. I see me sometimes in a different way that God sees. And that is why that when the psalmist began to hold inventory, he let God be the examiner. You see, God don't see me like I see me sometimes. And the psalmist was serving God and he loved God. But he says to God, look further than out here. Look into my heart. Look into my mind. And see if there's something in my mind and in my heart that I have an inventory. See if there's something there that I haven't recognized or I haven't noticed that it's not for me, but it's against me. And he turns it over to God. Now, if today, right now, you turned your life over to God right now, would you and I be willing to say to God, God, search my mind and search my heart, and if you find anything wrong in me, tell me. And when you tell me, I will listen and I'll do something about it. One thing about inventory is that when you see you haven't got enough material to move on, need to do some ordering or reordering. You need to bring it into focus, or that you have all the things necessary on hand to move through this year. Now I want to cut that way down for us spiritually, if you will. There's only one thing that we really need to face the new year with the kind of inventory that God wants to have concerning ourselves. And that is to let God hold the inventory.
Amen.
How important that is and how valuable that it is. And the psalmist was willing to go as far in Psalm 19 and 12 that he was willing to employ God himself, to cleanse him from his secret faults. Now the psalmist wasn't talking about faults that was secret from the church or from those he come in contact with. He wasn't talking about faults that was secret anyone who saw him, even God. What the psalmist was saying was simply this: there might be some faults in my life that are secret to me. There might be some things in my life I honestly don't know are wrong. I might be doing some things that are honestly not right in the sight of God. And so, God, if you will examine these secret thoughts and give me wisdom and understanding and knowledge, I'll clean up my act. Amen. And so the psalmist was willing to turn mind, heart, and body over to God for examination. Even from the secret rooms in his life that maybe the psalmist like us, you have, sure. I have. There have been things that have come up and I've had to go in my closet, my secret closet with God. And I had to call upon God and say, God, is this right or is it wrong? I need some wisdom and knowledge, and I thank God, throw the rose while you've got it. I thank God for Shelby and them that pray, and when they pray for their pastor, they say, give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You see, she knows and others know. I don't know it all. But she knows and you know that God knows it all. And God is able to distribute that wisdom and knowledge to me that I might understand what's right or wrong. Now, if you ain't sure if it's right or wrong, you shun it until you talk to God, until you took inventory, and God has marked it on the paper that it's all right. Can I get an amen? Because if you don't, you are in a world of trouble. You see, it's not hard for me to measure myself physically. I can take a foot rule up. I can take a yardstick. I can put numbers on the wall and measure it with a ruler. I can do all those things. And I can go get on a scale if I really wanted to know how much I weigh. I could go get on a scale and weigh myself and see how I stand physically. But spiritually is a different matter. to measure ourselves spiritually, we must measure ourselves with the ruler that God hands out. And that ruler is the Word of God. I say to us, when we measure ourselves with the rule of God, our spiritual life will be plumb bob accurate. How many know what plumb bob is? All right. If you don't, well, plumb bob is usually a piece of a metal that is hung on a string, and it has a point on it, and you hang it over something for a mark, and when it stops, that little point, you can make a dot with it. It's so accurate. And God said about Israel one time, remember, he said, I'll measure you as we measure a wall with a plumb bob. What God is saying to us, and what I am saying to us today from God, is make sure that we hold that inventory in 1991 with the rule of God, because it is the only one that we will find spiritually correct in measuring our spiritual life. See, God knows all about us. Yes? It's not easy to measure ourselves, but there's one thing for sure. Sometimes we don't want to do it, you know. Sometimes we got this ego attitude. I'm all right. If you don't like it, go snuff it. You don't have to tell me how to live. I know how to live. I live the way I was brought up to live. Well, was the way you were brought up to live according to the Word of God? Or was the way that you was brought to live was just do good to others and be kind and show respect and forget about God? You see, we all have our own ideologies of how we need to live. But I want to say to us that it's hard to give us ourselves a spiritual inventory. But it is very necessary. Not only for the preacher or the deacon. It's necessary for every member of the church of God. And you know the greatest time to do that is at the beginning of a brand new spanking year. And that's where we stand. Amen. The new year is a time for analysis. Once we have taken a spiritual inventory, we need to analyze the results. What? How do I analyze the results? When I held that inventory, did I find myself on praying grounds and staying ground with God? Or have I fallen short? When I held that inventory, did I find that if Jesus comes today, as John said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly? Or have I found that I need to pray a little longer? I need to dedicate a little more. You see, if you hold inventory and you're falling short and you have nothing to make it up, then you might as well not hold the inventory. Preacher, what do you say? You know, I'll say it so you can understand it. Do you need to serve God more in 1991 than you did in 1990? Do you need to have more faith in God in this year than you did in the last? Do you need to say, as Shelby said to her classmate, I believe she said, I'm picking up a little bit of what she said, that everything belongs to God anyway. Amen. Have we given God that which is God? How we use our talents for God? Somebody say, well, you know, when I was young, I used to, you get the word? I used to sing in church all the time. I used to do this. I used to do that. Somebody said the other day, preacher, you need to get out some more around to it. You know, everybody says, well, I'm going to do this when I get around to it. And I'm going to do that when I get around to it. Well, one day, I passed out round to it in the church. Everybody had a round to it. And I don't know if they throwed it away or what, because some folks didn't get around to it as it said. And so we need to take the inventory and say to ourselves, I want this coming year to be better than it was past year. I'm looking for greater things. Some lady said, well, I hope that things aren't as bad this coming year as they was last year. And I'm in agreement with that. But ain't you glad, or aren't you, excuse me, aren't you glad that God was in it with you? What if God would have said, I'm not concerned about you. You don't seem too concerned about me, and I'm not too concerned about you. Where would we be? Well, Paul is saying to the church, we need to take this inventory, and then we need to analyze. If there's some things we need to get out of our lives, we need to get them out now. If there's more things we need to dedicate to God, we need to dedicate them now. If I was an old sourpuss and an old grouch last year, you better get a smile on there this year, because God hates a sore face. You see, it's little things that we inventory. And there's reasons why that we were like this or we did that. We need to change those things with God. So Paul said, examine yourself and make sure you're a child of God. Because I always say this, there's nobody greater than the child of God that ought to be laughing and jumping and praising God continuously. I'll tell you that right now. And that's what we need to be doing with God. And so we need to analyze the situation. And if we would really be sincere about it, we might listen to and heed the words of Benjamin Franklin, and I quote his words. Love thou life, then do not squander time, for time is the stuff of which life is made. Unquote. I think what he's saying is something like this. Didn't the Word of God say that life is like a vapor? It appears for a minute and it's gone. Haven't you noticed that lately? Then I say it's like the grass that comes and it's green and at the end of the day it's dried and gone. I believe what he's trying to say to us, we need to accept the reality that life is passing us by. Life is passing us by. And we need to redeem every moment of that time and make sure that when we stand before God, we don't have to stutter around. Tell it like it is, because God has the answer. Amen. And so it's a time for inventory, and at the time to analyze my life. If I need to make some changes, I need to make them now. And if I felt it was so bad back there, I need to get closer to God so it'll be better up here. New Year is a time of new beginning. A time for encouragement. A time to dream dreams. A time to set goals. I read a book, Dreaming Dreams. And then I read another book, Keeping the Dream Alive. Maybe some of you have read that. But it talks about goals. And I like what it said, how it kind of summed up a way to encourage us. So many times we set our goals where we know we can't reach them. And we'll say, well, I know I can't reach it, but I'll do the best I can to work toward it. That's plumb silly. To set a goal I know I can't reach, that's dumb. You know what to do? Set a goal that you know beyond the shadow of any doubt that you can reach it and you're going to reach it. And when you've reached it, rejoice, amen, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And then set a new goal. Another goal that you can reach and know you're going to reach. And when you reach it, rejoice, 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 and set another goal. is dreaming those dreams knowing that those dreams are going to come through if God tarries. Is dreaming those dreams that we know we have the potential to reach. And then reaching out for Him. Have you set a goal about serving God in 1991? Well, no, because I'm not sure what tomorrow is going to be. I'll tell you what, don't worry about it. God can handle that. I mean, if you set a goal and you're trying to reach it, and God gets done when you take you home, you reach it. But if they're not willing to hold an inventory, and we're not willing to analyze the inventory, if we're not willing to start new beginnings for God, if we're not willing to dream dreams with enthusiasm. One day, you know, somebody said, asked me quite several times, "You're always smiling. Do you put that on, Mom?" "No. I'm a big stinking joker. In fact, I always tell the puppy when they walk by my casket, I'll kind of wink at it." And I'll tell you, my friend, I'm like that, and I'll tell you why. Because I love that God has made a new day. And I will be glad. And I will rejoice in it. Because God has put me in His new day. That's right. Ask my brother then. I'm a nut. I love being a nut. Especially a nut for God. But you know, if I just want to sit down and quit and let that long face come and say, "Nobody loves me and even God, I'm not." Man, I'm in a lot of trouble. I know God loves me. You know how I know? He died for me. That's when He said, "Go, God." Talk about new beginnings. He mentioned some new things that God's going to bring them. But God can't bring no new things, no new beginnings, no dreams in your life if we're not willing to dream and plan and set goals. Listen what He says here. Revelation 21:5. God makes all things new. Psalms 33:2, He said, we'll sing a new song. Never sang before a new song to God that only the redeemed can sing. Isaiah 62:2, He said, "And I'll give you a new name." A new name. Ezekiel 11:19, "And I'll instill within thee a new spirit." Maybe that's what the church needs. Not a brand new Holy Spirit, but a brand new filling of that Holy Spirit. The one that prods you, like the farmer does the cow. He prods you to move into God's day with enthusiasm, dreams, and hope. Ezekiel 18:31, "Plant with a new heart." Matthew 26:28, "I give unto you a new covenant that you shall love thine enemy and love your neighbor as yourself." Isn't that great? Galatians 6:15, a new creation. And Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth. You see, God is about new beginning. And if God is about new beginning, shouldn't God's family be about new beginnings? Shouldn't the church of God be starting fresh every day and every moment of those seconds, of thousands and millions of seconds that He gives us? Shouldn't everyone be a new one for God? Listen to this. John Wesley, January 1, 1785, a few years ago. "Whether this be the last year or no, may it be the best year of my life." Well, I don't get too enthusiastic. God might come, but when He comes, you think I'm not only going to be on shouting ground, I'm going to be shouting on the ground. That's right. Concerning the new year, I'll close with this remark. I pray we will make it our resolution, our remark, our new dream. My hope is built on nothing less nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. If God tarries, what do you expect your new year to be like? I'm not sure, then, friend, you haven't taken inventory. Yeah, I've taken inventory. Then you haven't analyzed. Yeah, I've analyzed. Then you ain't serving God. Amen. Because when we hold inventory and analyze it, we will look forward to the greatest year that God can possibly give us. Amen. As those who play the instruments of music and Brother Wilton come this morning, only you and God know your heart. He knows how close you are to Him. He knows your intentions for the moment you leave this building today. He knows your dreams for tomorrow. He knows if you've got hope, because the word hope is assurance. Do you have that hope and that assurance? If you don't have today, God deals with your heart. Preach what I do. We're going to have Lord's Supper this morning. It won't take that long. We're in no hurry. It's how God deals with it. Well, but I don't want to disturb. You ain't going to disturb God. I don't guess. I don't think He's sleeping, because the Bible said He never slumbers or sleeps. So you're not going to disturb God, and if you can't disturb God, I promise you, you're not going to disturb me. And if you're going to disturb somebody else, they can go on home and forget it. But if God speaks to your heart today to come and pray, God deals with you for salvation, church membership. If God deals with you for anything, you let God have His wonderful way in your heart. Amen. As we stand and sing, Brother Wilton.
Number 200.